Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. I was sitting down here in Sunday school, and he asked me to come and preach this morning. And I said, Lord, this is an awesome responsibility. I need something from you. And he gave me this short message this morning. I want to share it with you. Luke 23, we'll read 33 down to verse 46. And let us stand as we honor God's word, the reading of God's word. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, in letters of Latin, and in Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Father, we pray now that you open our hearts to the word of God. We pray there be those here who know not Jesus this morning, who know not the forgiveness of sins, who know not the love of God and the peace of God in their hearts, that the Holy Ghost this morning would show them their lost condition and show them Jesus as their Savior, as their substitute, as their Lord. In his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. There have been many sermons perhaps preached on the cross of Christ, Brother Al. And this is as it should be. For the cross of Christ stands at the center point of all history. If you would know what God is like this morning, you must go back to the cross of Jesus Christ. There you find, first of all, that he's a holy God. A holy God that cannot tolerate sin. A just God that has said in his word, The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But thank God, Paul went on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's a just God, he's a holy God, but he's a loving God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he, God, had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Here we notice this morning very quickly three thoughts. The cross, the place of emptiness. The cross, the place of supreme sacrifice. And the cross, the place of remembrance. Notice verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We all were born into this world as sinners, under the condemnation of God. Our sins were against God. God, being a holy God, could not look upon our sin. God, being a just God, had to punish our sin. Now, a question came up. If God is holy and God is just, how can God forgive sin? The answer is found here. When Jesus died on the cross, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Every sin that you ever committed in the past, every sin that you will ever commit in the future, he bore them in his own body on the tree. And he, by his death, canceled the debt that we owe God. The word forgiveness here, Brother Al, is a type of, it says, cancellation of a debt. Jesus, by his death, canceled the debt, sin debt, that we owe God. You're here this morning and you're lost, no matter what you've done. No matter how bad you think your sin may be. When Jesus died on the cross, he canceled that debt. He paid in full the debt that you owe God. Your sins were against the judgment of God, against the government of God, and Jesus Christ, when he died, canceled the debt, brother. Amen. 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 My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Amen. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Christ, Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. He forgives our sins, but he puts them in the deep sea, and he forgets about them. And he has posted a no fishing sign. And the devil, if you're a Christian, will make you think about those past sins. When the devil brings that up to say, you have to take that up with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to take that up with the one who died for me. You have to take that up with my surety, with my Savior. So the cross is a place of forgiveness. Thank God that Jesus shed his blood. Then we notice here, the people here, they stood beholding. And the rulers also, they write to him saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. I see something else in this verse I didn't see a minute ago. He saved others. Let him save himself. He could not save himself to save others. To save you and to save me, he had to drink all of God's vengeance, all of God's wrath. He had to pay the penalty for you and me. He could not save himself. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. My brother, about 25 years ago, took his wife for their 25th anniversary to Italy. And he was thirsty. So he walked into this shop, and there was a silver flask, Brother L, and it had grapes on it. Oh, he said, grape juice. So he took it back to the place where he was staying, and he opened the lid, and he took a swallow, and then it was vinegar. But hear the Lord, they offer him vinegar, and saying, if thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Cross here is a place of supreme sacrifice. He gave himself willingly because he loved us. And lost sinner this morning, God loved you so much. And Jesus loved you so much that he died there for you this morning. Why don't you just throw down your arms of rebellion and come to him and let him save you. Let him wash you in his blood. Let him make you clean. We go on. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. In those 3 hours that Jesus suffered on the cross, this malefactor observed that he was different, that he was innocent. But not only did he find him to be innocent, he realized through the Holy Ghost that he was God. Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Paradise then was in the heart of the earth. It had Abraham's bosom on which the Old Testament saints would go. There was a great gulf fixed, and there was a place of torments. In Luke 19, you'll find that you have a poor beggar named Lazarus who went to Abraham's bosom, and you find a rich man too busy in this life to even think about his soul in hell. And he could not get out of hell, and Lazarus could not go over to comfort him. But here on the cross, the thief said, Lord, remember me. I was raised in a Christian home, and thank God for that. Amen. But that didn't make me a Christian. Going to church don't make you a Christian. Doing good works don't make you a Christian. Helping old ladies across the street don't make you a Christian. I was a young man, and I went to a Bible school, and I stayed afterwards, and the teacher said, can I help you? And I said, I don't know. He said, what's wrong? He said, I've been told that you can be saved and know it. And I asked people, how can you know? And they say, you just know it. And that's not so. You just don't know anything. How do you know? How can you know if you're saved or not? Turn over with me to the verse he showed me that morning. Amen. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And those with me. John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He turned to this verse and he said, Paul, will you come to Jesus? I said, yes, but I don't know how to come. He said, you pray. And he said, well, you want to pray? And I said, yes. And well, tell God in your own words that you're a sinner. Told him that. Tell God that you believe that Jesus was the virgin-born Son of God. I told him that. Tell him that you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. I told him that. Tell him that he said if you would come to him, he would in no wise cast you out. I told him that. He said, now thank him for taking you in. I told him that. And he said, in Jesus' name, amen. And I looked up, and he looked up, and he said, did you just come to Jesus? I said, yes. Did he save you, or did he cast you out? Amen. He saved me. Amen. Well, how do you know? He said so.
Yeah. Amen.
God can't lie. And God says, if you come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Amen. Oh, preacher, I've done so many sins. I've lived a wicked life. I've committed all these sins. But God will not cast you out if you come to Jesus.
Amen.
You have a pastor here that's living proof of that.
Amen.
I met him just after he got saved. Him and John Garner, if you had known them before the Lord saved them, you wouldn't want to tangle with them in a dark alley at night. I tell you that. But the Lord saved them by his grace. And I'm saying to you this morning that the Lord can save you. I thank God for that morning, for that person, that God had given him enough knowledge to turn me to this verse and show me how I could be saved. I once was away from the Savior and vile as a sinner could be. I wondered if Christ the Redeemer would save a poor sinner like me. I wondered on in the darkness, not a ray of light could I see, and the thought filled my heart with sadness. There's no hope for a sinner like me. But then, in that dark, lonely hour, a voice spake kindly to me, saying Christ the Redeemer has power.
Amen.
To save a poor sinner like me. I listened, and lo, 'twas the Savior that was speaking so kindly to me. I cried, I'm the chief of sinners. Oh, save a poor sinner like me. I then fully trusted in Jesus. And oh, what a joy came to me. My heart was singing his praises for saving a sinner like me. No longer in darkness I'm walking. The light is now shining on me. And to others I'm telling the story. How he saved a poor sinner like me. And then when this life here is over, and I, the dear Savior, shall see, I'll thank him forever and ever. For for saving a sinner like me. Father, take these few words and use them as you will. Lead the pastor as he comes with the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.